that Jesus performed. And at the end of the book, he says, I have written these things about these signs and these miracles. I've included these particular seven miracles for one purpose, that you may understand the identity, the true identity of who Jesus is, and that you might put faith in Jesus and have life in His name. That you might find the life that Jesus has for you by finding Jesus. So we've been kind of working our way through these miracles. And a couple weeks ago, we started to look at one. I'm actually looking at Matthew's account rather than John's of this particular miracle. And it is the miracle when Jesus walked on water. And so we kind of got into it a bit a couple weeks ago. And I want to kind of finish that one up this morning. Last time we kind of left Jesus' miracle of walking on water. It gave us a picture of what real radical faith looks like. I want to kind of just read back through a portion of that. This is from Matthew 14. And just kind of listen along. Jesus had sent the disciples out on the boat by themselves. And they had gotten out in the water, and Jesus kind of stayed behind. And it says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into a boat, go out while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up to a mountainside by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, that was about the middle of the night, somewhere between kind of 3 and 5 a.m., Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," Jesus said. And then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught Peter. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed back into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped Jesus, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." So they're out on the boat, and we've seen the first miracle. Last week, we kind of focused on Jesus walking on the water. And comes up to the disciples. It's the middle of the night. There's a storm going on. All of this is set up by Jesus. He's the one that sent them out there. He's the one that created the storm. And they're petrified. They see him, and he declares to them, "Don't be afraid. It is I." Kind of an odd phrase, don't you think? "It is I." What he's doing there is he's actually taking a phrase from the Old Testament where when God would appear to people, when Moses asked God, when he appeared to him, "Hey, who should I tell Pharaoh that sent me? Who should I tell him?" And God says, "It is I." And it's God's expression for saying, "It is I," meaning, "I am the eternal existent God. I have existed for all eternity. I am here." And so Jesus takes that phrase, and he knows the disciples are going to get it when they hear it. He's basically saying, I am God. I am here. I am with you. And he calms them down. But then it happens. Something unique happens. Peter, he's been seeing Jesus do all of these miracles, healing the sick, multiplying the loaves and the fish. And now Jesus is standing on water. He's walked to them on the water. And Peter makes a bold choice to take a big step of faith. And he asked the Lord permission to come. The Lord grants it, and it says he got out of the boat and he went to him. And I see in this story, in this account of what happened to Peter, several aspects that I want to have us look at this morning of what faith is all about. Because as Christians, this ought to be like a big deal to you and to me. Because we are called to live a life of faith. But the question is, what does real radical faith look like? And I think in this little story here, we get a glimpse into what real faith is. If you want to get your outlines out of the bulletin and follow along, that might just help you stay with me. Number one, radical faith. And the picture we see here is out of safety and into the mess. That is a good definition of faith. It takes us out of safety, out of our safety zone, out of our comfort zone, and into the mess, into the chaos of life. For the glory of God, I might add. Peter said, "If it is you, Lord, tell me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And Peter got down out of the boat. And for the first time in human history, somebody other than Jesus, a human being, walks on the water. What a step of faith. You see, in the boat where the 12 were sitting, is safety, right? I mean, that's the one place where I'm not going to drown, I'm not going to sink. In the storm, in the middle of the night, the boat represents safety. But in the boat, faith won't be stretched. There'll be no growth staying in the boat. There'll be no impact staying in the boat. Remember, Jesus set this, again, he set this whole stage. He's the one that sent them out onto the boat. And he knew that they would have trouble getting across in time because he was going to send a storm that was going to make it difficult for them to cross. And he knew it was going to get dark. It was going to be in the middle of the night. And he knew he was going to come to them on the water. He had the whole thing set up. I mean, why not do this at noon on a calm day? Right? I mean, that's when I want to get out of the boat. But Jesus sets this whole thing up to really push the limits and to set up the stage for one of the disciples to take a big step of faith. And it reminds us that God is up to something bigger than we can imagine. He wants to call us into things that are beyond our comfort zone, out of our safety, our sense of safety. And so Peter steps out of the boat onto the water with his eyes fixed on Jesus. It seems like stepping out of the boat of safety, and again, you know what your boat of safety is. You know the things you like to have everything, you know, just so, and life is, you know, under control. And then God calls us to kind of step out and do something that will stretch us. And anytime we step out of the boat spiritually as a Christian, you will be stepping into a mess. Because life is that way, isn't it? Life is chaotic. Relationships are hard. Circumstances get crazy. And all the time, God is bidding us, calling us, come out of the boat, step into the mess, step into the chaos, step into your fears, face them. With your eyes fixed on Jesus, step out of that boat. That's what Peter did. Step toward the mess of a lost world so that God can use you to help redeem it. Step towards people that are hurting, step towards the poor, step towards the broken, step out of the boat. That's the nature of faith. Step toward a spiritual challenge that will stretch you. God's got something. He wants you to step out of the same old way of doing things. And He wants to take your faith and to grow it. That's what stepping out of the boat does. If you stay in the boat, your faith is never going to grow. It's just going to kind of be this little thing. It's going to be about what you know, your statement of faith, what you believe. But you'll never put your faith into action. And that's what faith biblically really is. Maybe a good definition of faith is it's doing something that you know that you could never do on your own. Faith requires God to show up. So think about your life right now. What are you doing? What are you involved with? What has God called you into? And you're following Him and you're saying, man, there's no way I could pull this off on my own. I need the Lord every step of the way. That's when you know you're beginning to get out of the boat. The first time I ever experienced this was many years ago. I was a young believer. I felt like maybe God was calling me to go into ministry. But you need to know something about Pastor Mike. I was not a very good student growing up. I struggled in school. I didn't really work very hard at it. I was more into the extracurricular activities than I was the classroom activities, that kind of thing. I don't think I really hardly read a book when I was in high school. I did everything I could to get around that. I was very undisciplined. I kind of finished. I mean, I was smart enough. I kind of finished in the middle of my class. Are you pointing at somebody? You know somebody like that? So I went to college and I, by God's mercy, I got accepted into a college. And there's some circumstances even around that are a God thing. And I started having panic attacks because college was harder than high school. And it was kind of on my own to make sure I did what I needed to do to get my stuff done. And there was nobody to tell me you got to get it done by a certain time. And I would sit down with some of my assignments and I would have panic attacks. I would procrastinate and I'd put it off and I'd finally sit down to do my work and I'm like, I can't do this. I don't know how to do this. But God was calling me into ministry. And I had a friend, a pastor friend of mine, who just kept telling me, you can do this. I had a girlfriend named Lisa at the time who kept telling me, you can do this. Well, then I decided I was going to go past college and go to graduate school or seminary. And as God would have it, I ended up going to Dallas Theological Seminary. And I know for, you know, the average person on the street, one seminary, they're all the same. Dallas had a reputation for being one of the most academically rigorous seminaries that are out there. And I knew that I was going to have to do things like learn Greek and Hebrew. You know, biblical languages, which was so far beyond my imagination. And I was scared to death. And there was a part of my natural mind that just kept saying, you cannot do this. This is way beyond what you're capable of. But in that time of my life, I was a young believer. And I had some Christian friends around me, like I said, that were encouraging me. And it was, bottom line was, there's no way I could have ever done any of what I did going through that without the Lord. And so I said, God, I'm going to step out of this boat because I believe you're calling me to ministry. So you will prepare me for ministry. But I've got to do this. But I cannot do it without you. And I stepped out of the boat and we moved to Dallas. That's a whole other story. Lisa and I got married. We moved to Dallas. And it was an adventure. And it was a great adventure. And I had to re-pray that prayer so many times during those years because I was in over my head. I thought college was hard. Well, seminary, I mean, the reading level and the stuff I had to do was just, again, beyond what I ever had done before. And I regularly had to go before the Lord and just say, God, I need your strength. I need your help. There's some areas in my life I'm going to really have to grow in. I'm going to have to become much more disciplined to do this. And my faith in God just grew like crazy during those years because I stepped out of the boat and God showed up. And that was really my first big experience with living by faith, with stepping out of the boat, with doing something that I just could have never, ever done without God's continual presence in my life. Two weeks ago, I challenged you all to begin to think about areas of your life now that you might be called to step out of the boat. I talked about maybe for some of you it is serving with your spiritual gifts. It's time to get out of the pew and into the game for some. It's time to say, God, you've given me certain spiritual gifts. They're very raw right now because I've hardly ever used them, but I'm going to step up and I'm going to serve with the gifts that you've given me. For some of you, it is giving. It's stewardship. It's the area of your finances. It's the area of giving to the Lord. And for some of you, stepping out in faith, stepping out of the boat means I'm going to become a regular tither. I mentioned that last time. I'm going to give not just to God after everything's taken care of, whatever's left, I'll put the change in the plate. I'm going to give to God first. I'm going to give to God faithfully. I'm going to give to God generously. And I'm going to trust God with that area of my life. For some of you, it has to do with acts of compassion. It's time for some of us to step out of the boat and move towards hurting people with the compassion and love of Christ. Many of you do that on our Wednesday night. I feel like that's a compassion ministry to a lot of the youth and the children of our community. And it's time maybe for some of us to take that next step, to step out of the boat. For some of us, it's in the area of sharing our faith. We might call that evangelism or witnessing. For some of us, stepping out of the boat means I'm gonna pray for and pray for the opportunity to share my faith in Jesus with somebody in my life, somebody that desperately needs the Lord. It's time for me to open my mouth for the Lord. For others, it's in the area of your devotional life, your walk with God. Like I said in my prayer earlier, this isn't a religion. This is a relationship that we have with God. And to grow that relationship, we need to develop a prayer life. We need to develop a devotional life, a time where we can meet with God in His Word. And so for some of us, stepping out of the boat means I'm gonna grow my spiritual time with God. I'm going to increase what I'm doing there. I'm going to begin to dig into the Word. I'm going to begin to pray real prayers to God. Whatever it is, God wants you to step out in the boat. He's not going to ask you to step out in 10 ways all at once. But you know in your heart, as you pray, God will lead you. God, where do you want me to step out of the boat? Where do you want me to stretch my faith? Friends, if you don't do it, you'll die. If you don't do it, your faith will shrivel up and die. But if you will do it, you will be invited by the Lord Jesus into a life that is beyond what you can imagine. A life of adventure, a life of being used by the living God. Leads me to point number 2. And it asks the question about, well, what about the other 11? I counted 12 in the boat. Only one got out. What about the others? And I'm stealing this phrase from John Ortberg, who wrote a book, If You Want to Walk on Water, You Got to Get Out of the Boat. And he has a chapter in there called, number 2, don't be a boat potato. And he challenged me in that book to think about the other 11. Why didn't the other, what about the other 11? They stayed in the boat. They stayed where it was safe. You know, they had just had the experience in verse 26 when they saw Jesus walking on the water. They were terrified, and Jesus had they cried out in fear. They thought it was a ghost. They were still in the fear, even though Jesus had said, "Don't be afraid, it's me, it is I." But only Peter stepped out in faith that day. And I wanted to tell you something. The other 11 missed a tremendous opportunity to grow because they wouldn't leave their boat of safety. They would not take a risk. Ortberg, in his chapter on this, let me just read you a little section describing boat potatoes. This is the way, the boat potato way, this is the way that leads to stagnation, unrealized potential, unfulfilled longings. It leads to a sense that I'm not living my life the one I was called to live by God. It leads to boredom, to what we might call the common cold of the soul, to sinful patterns of behavior that never get confronted or changed, abilities and gifts that never get cultivated and deployed, until weeks become months, months turn into years, and one day you're looking back on a life of deep, intimate, gut-wrenching, honest conversations that you never had, great, bold prayers that you never prayed, exhilarating risks that you never took, sacrificial gifts that you never offered, lives that you never touched. And you're sitting in a recliner with a shriveled soul and forgotten dreams. And you realize there that there was a world of desperate need and a great God calling you to something bigger than yourself. You see the person you could have been and you could have become, but you did not. You never followed your calling. You never got out of the boat. And he concludes, there is no tragedy like a life lived never getting out of the boat. Don't be a boat potato. You see, friends, this great story in Matthew 14 is a call to step out in faith, to get out of the boat and to trust God and to move into action in some area of your life that God is calling you. Maybe it's to have a hard conversation that you need to have with somebody, but you've been afraid. And God's calling you, no, it's time to have that conversation for the good of that person or for the good of your own soul. So as Peter learned, and as we must learn, kind of coming back to our story, and somebody pointed this out to me last week after this, a couple weeks ago, because we kind of got into Peter stepping out of the boat, and somebody said, well, you didn't finish the whole story. I said, well, I'm going to come back to that because Peter didn't do this perfectly, did he? Once he got out of the boat, some troubles arose. We're going to talk about that. Number three, faith knows Jesus is the only true hope. You see, because challenges will face us when we step out of the boat. Because there is chaos. It's scary out there. God's going to call us into hard things. So it says there in our account in Matthew 14, but when Peter saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. The key phrase that we need to pay attention to is that Peter saw the wind. He saw the storm. He changed what he was focused on, didn't he? When he got out of the boat, who is he looking at? He was looking at Jesus. He was in the storm. He was on the water. It was the middle of the night, but his eyes were on Jesus. But he changed his focus. And he started looking at his circumstances. And the immediate result was he began to sink. And isn't that just how life is? We step out in faith. We're trying to live the Christian life. We have a season when we're focused on the Lord. We're focused on Jesus and we're doing okay. And God's using us. But then we get our eyes off of Jesus and onto the circumstances. We see the wind. And we begin to sink. Our focus gets diverted. Our faith gets threatened. Oppositions arise that we didn't anticipate. Obstacles come up. We're out on living by faith and obstacles come up that seem like we're never going to be able to overcome that obstacle. Things don't go in reality as we thought they would. We had it all mapped out how it was going to go. We had it all written out, our plan, all on paper, and it looked so good on paper. But in real life, we got out of the boat and surprises came up. Difficulties, challenges. We start focusing on the wind and we start to sink. And here it is. It's what we do that's going to happen. That's going to happen. It's what we do in that moment that counts the most. Peter cried out in that moment as soon as he realized, I'm focused on the wind, I'm overwhelmed, and he feels himself sinking. He cries out to the Lord, Lord, save me. Jesus, save me. Yes, friends. Yes, yes, yes. That is the right response. And maybe you're there right now. You've gotten out of the boat. You're trying to live for the Lord. And circumstances have got your attention, have distracted you, and you feel like, man, I'm really struggling, I'm going down. Man, the right answer, the way to respond to that, the way of faith is to cry out to Jesus. Lord Jesus, I need you. Lord Jesus, I cannot do this without you. I can tell you, friends, there were many times in seminary I cried out to Jesus, I cannot do this without you. This is overwhelming. This is beyond my capacity. I need you to show up. I need your strength to make it through this. I need your discernment and wisdom. I don't know what to do. I'm not sure what to do next. I need insight, Lord. I need understanding. I need to know what to do. I need your guidance. I need you. I can't do this without you. Can I make a little side note here and be real honest with you? My church family, whom God has called me to be the pastor through you, I'm in one of those times right now. I came to the Idaville First Church of God. I've been here for now 3+ years, part-time, interim, now full-time, moved my family here. You need to know that for me and my family, coming here was a huge stepping out of the boat. I love all of you. But God has called me here, called us here to do something. And I have a vision for this place, of what it could be. I think about it. I dream about it. I dream about us coming together. I know not all of the young families are here this morning. We're still on spring break. I can't tell you how burdened I am that we could have the young families of this church come together. I love the young families that are here. There's a couple of small groups that meet. There's some good things happening. But I long for the young families of this church especially. I mean, I have a lot of things I long for. But I long for the young families to come together and catch a vision for what could happen here in reaching this community if we could bond together, if we could dream together, if we could reach out together. I believe that this congregation could become a thriving lighthouse to this community. I believe it. But I got to tell you, I find myself crying out to Jesus. Jesus, I'm not sure what to do next. I'm not sure how to, I guess in a sense, breathe new life into this congregation. Give me wisdom. What do they need to hear from me? What do they need to receive from me? What buttons do I need to push? How do I help them move beyond the past and the hurt from the past and into hope as we move forward together? I guess I'm sharing this because, frankly, this is an area where you all need to step out of the boat with me. Because the first thing I realized, the first thing the Lord made very clear to me is, Mike, this is not a solo situation. You cannot do this on your own. This is not even all about you. You don't bring all the gifts. You don't have all the faith. You're just one person. And so lead and invite them into the life that I've called you all to. That's stepping out of the boat. I guess I'm just saying, inviting, man, step out of the boat with me. Begin to plead and pray, God, show us what you want us to do as a congregation. Show me my place. I can tell you this. A whole lot of people are going to have to step up. That's a reality. If we're going to move into the future, more people are going to have to step up and step out of the boat in different areas. And we're going to have to come together and passionately follow the Lord together. I'm not, again, every time I go down this road and say things like this, I want you to know I'm not trying to guilt trip you. I'm not wanting you to do anything out of guilt or shame. I want you to feel invited by Jesus into the adventure of the Christian life. I want you to feel invited to become the church, again, that reaches people for Jesus. And for you to know that you can play a part of that. Just a couple final thoughts. We have to win the battle number four between faith and doubt. Peter actually gets a little bit of a rebuke. I mean, the guy walked on the water. He trusted God big, but he got distracted by the waves, by the wind, and he started to sink. And when after they're back in the boat, after everything's cool and safe, Jesus rebukes him. And he says in verse 31, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" I don't think he was trying to punish Peter. I think he was just trying to help Peter see this is where the battle's at. The opposite of faith is doubt. And if you are going to live this Christian life and you're going to let doubt win over faith, man, you're going to struggle. Do you really believe, do I really believe that Jesus is who he said he was, the Son of God? And do you truly believe with me that he will keep his promises, that he will do what he said he was going to do? Sometimes I get overwhelmed and I feel doubt in my heart. Sometimes that doubt's more, maybe more directed at me, but sometimes it's towards the Lord. And God, Jesus is saying, trust me. When you be honest about your doubts, bring them before the Lord, but turn them into faith. Trust me. And then one final thing. Number five, where does all this end? Living by faith leads to true worship. At the end of this passage, after everything was said and done, one final verse. When they had climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped Jesus, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." You see, when you step out in faith, and you follow the Lord, and you see the Lord show up and work through you and work in you, then you will be ready to worship. I'm telling you, it's a whole lot easier to worship when you're out of the boat. You understand what I'm saying? When you begin to see God do things in your life as you step out in faith, God gets bigger. Because now He's at work in your life and you're trusting Him. And He grows. It seems like He grows. He doesn't really grow, but He grows in your life. And so we don't just show up on Sundays and sing a couple songs for the sake of singing a couple songs. That's not what real worship ultimately is. Real worship happens when I've stepped out in faith and I'm following God and He shows up and He works in my life. And you know how it is when you see something great happen? It's March Madness time, right? Anybody watching any of the college basketball games? That kind of thing? So last year, the championship game, the guy from Villanova comes down after the guy from North Carolina hit the shot to look like win the game for North Carolina. And then right at the last second, the guy from Villanova comes down and he hits the three-pointer at the buzzer. And inside, I just exploded. I'm like, I jumped out of my chair. I cheered. I can't remember who I was with, but I high-fived. We were worshiping. Because when you see something great, you can't keep it to yourself. It's like you gotta share it with somebody. You gotta tell somebody. You gotta, you know, and then when you do that, it's almost like it completes the experience. That's what worship is. We see God do something great when we step out in faith, and the response to that at the end is, praise You, Jesus, for what You've done. Praise You for showing up. Praise You for working in my life. And we do that in song and we do that in praise. And that's how this story ends, is the disciples saw God do something great and they praised Him and worshiped Him. And that's what we do. That's why we gather here. I hope that the gatherings here at Idaville First Church of God can become more and more and more, that we're getting together every Sunday, having lived a week of stepping out of the boat and living by faith, and then coming back together to celebrate what God has done in our lives and worship Him because of how great and awesome He is. Wouldn't that be awesome? Let's do that together. And it all starts, as I close this morning, with each of us saying, God, where do You want me to step out of the boat? And then You making the choice, and I making the choice, to step out, trusting God with our eyes fixed on Jesus. And when we get distracted and overwhelmed, we get our eyes back on Jesus, and we trust Him. If you will do that and I will do that, we will grow in our faith. Let's pray together. Father, this little episode with Peter is such a beautiful, powerful picture of what faith looks like. It's not perfect. It's messy. But Lord, we step out and we trust You. And we grow. I have to believe, Lord, that You use this episode in Peter's life and in the other disciples, that later on, after this was all over, and You were gone after Your death and resurrection, I bet they thought back to this episode over and over again as they began to serve You in Your kingdom. Lord, help us to be ones that step out of the boat. Help us, even right now, have a thought in our head and a conviction in our heart. God, where do You want me to step out of the boat and trust You? Guide us in this. And as we, with courageous faith, step out, help us to keep our eyes fixed upon Jesus. And then, Father, have Your way with us. Grow us. Stretch us. Use us for your glory. Help us to come alive and live that life of faith that you've called us all to live. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.